And yeah, so I was born tongue-tied. And that term has kind of been, I guess, a common metaphor for me in my life. Growing up, being the black sheep in my family, not only my family, but a lot of like my high school or a lot of my like years growing up. I grew up in like a small conservative farm community, and like, you know, there's just not people like me, I guess, around here. And so it was really hard for me to like communicate and like relate. And I always felt, yeah, kind of like an outsider. And once I discovered music, that's kind of like, for me, is when I kind of like found my voice in a sense.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Trevor Talks. I'm your host, Trevor Tyson, and I'm just thrilled to invite you to the most unconventional episode of Trevor Talks that you've ever logged into. You know, after the past few weeks, we've had Matt Griner from August Burns Red, and we've had Jerome Flood from Floodgate, and what's the other? Kyle Pastor from Archetypes Collide. It's just a huge metalcore party, and I'm excited about it. So I thought we would just keep the party going. So we've got Jeremy Schaefer from Earthgroans, but not only Jeremy, which his mustache is enough to carry a whole interview on without him saying a word. But we've also got Michael Felker from Convictions joining us just because they've got some weird bromance going on, and I wanted to be extended into it. So that's why we're here. We're all here together to get tips about how to get a good mustache from Jeremy, but mostly to talk about Earthgroans' new EP, Tongue Tied. Without further ado, Jeremy, Mike, welcome to the show. This is going to be fun.
Hello.
What's up? Thanks for having me. And for surprising me with Mike's appearance also. That's very cool.
I'm back with the most Jesus-y shirt you could ever wear in your life. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. So Mike is eating Chipotle right now. Jeremy is counting money from the Tongue Tied EP. And yeah, just all of it, metalcore money. No, but it's such a sick EP, man. And I'm super excited to have you on the show. And Mike, having you back was just a dream of mine. I didn't know if you were going to be busy because you're so famous and all now. But we're all here together. It's going to be a big family affair. Since we've had Mike on the show before, Jeremy, let's start with you. Can you give us a little introduction into Earthgroans? And for all of the CCM people that follow us that maybe don't even know what metalcore is, give them the full Earthgroans experience straight from Jeremy Schaefer.
What the heck's going on here? What do I do with this thing?
Oh, it's amazing.
I got a floater.
If you're listening to the audio experience, he's got an amazing hair floater right now, and you should go watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, I literally woke up like 3 hours ago. I slept till 3 today, not gonna lie.
Sounds like what I do on a daily basis.
Yeah, I worked till like 7 or 8 a.m. So I started Earthgroans about 7 years ago now. I was just telling Trevor earlier that I got a reminder on my phone for our first tour from 7 years ago, May of 2016. Our very first tour was our first time playing shows. It was wild. So I started Earthgroans. Earthgroans was going to be like a solo project of mine that I didn't really plan on taking seriously. So I wrote an EP and recorded the EP. And then I was like, actually, you know what? It'd be sick if I turned this into a touring project. Wow. So I kind of started looking around for members, and everything kind of just fell into place. And then we just hit the ground running. I never really totally intended it to be, you know, I was doing my recording studio. I was doing that full time for about 5 years, and I just missed playing music, missed touring. And so once I, you know, I wrote Earthgroans, or I started Earthgroans just to kind of scratch that itch. And then I was like, let's do this. Let's go for it. And so we just started touring very heavily. I knew that I was like, well, if I'm going to do another project, I'm going to go for it full send. So we just started touring right off the bat, and we toured pretty heavily for, I don't know, year and a half, 2 years maybe. And then we signed to Solid State, and then we did a re-release of that record. And then we've been doing EPs almost every year since. So
that is insane. So from May 2016 Fun fact, the month and year I graduated high school, praise God, almost didn't pass everything, but you know what? We made it through and we're here. So May 2016, you start touring up until 2023. Like, it had to be super weird when obviously the pandemic hit, you couldn't tour anymore. How was that like for you after touring for such a long time and just being locked into your house, essentially? Right. And then Mike, if you could answer that as well.
Well, he's still chewing, so I'll go first.
No, yeah.
It was brutal. It was, I had a meltdown, honestly, because, I told Trevor earlier, I have a recording studio. That's my full-time job or my big boy job. And then I was doing the touring thing. So literally both rugs were pulled out from underneath me. And that's like literally my whole life. My whole life is music, you know, the studio and touring and stuff. So I pretty much didn't have anything anymore. So it was a very rude awakening to have all that happen like within like a week or two, you know. So yeah. Mental health wise, it was really hard. But I mean, through it, I feel like I learned a lot and kind of learned, you know, how much of my own character, my own identity I had wrapped up in being the band guy. So that was kind of a cool awakening for me too.
If you've been listening to this podcast for more than one episode, then you know how much I advocate for therapy. I don't shut up about it. Heck, half of the episodes we're talking about therapy because mental health is just as important as your physical health. And we know that finding the right support for your mental health can be a challenge. And that's why I want to tell you about our brand new sponsor here at Trevor Talks, BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp.com offers a convenient and discreet way for people to receive mental health support from the comfort of their own home. With a wide range of therapists to choose from and the ability to communicate via text, phone, or video, BetterHelp.com makes it easy to find the right support for your needs. One of the main benefits of using BetterHelp.com is the flexibility that it provides. You can access therapy sessions from anywhere you have an internet connection and choose from a variety of communication methods, including text, phone, and video. Where else are you going to find this, guys? I don't know. BetterHelp.com also uses a wide range of therapists to choose from, with specialties in various areas such as anxiety, depression, relationships, and more. We have a special offer for you guys. BetterHelp.com is offering our listeners a 10% discount on their first month of therapy services. So if you've been thinking about getting into therapy and it's just been too expensive, BetterHelp.com is a lot cheaper than going to a traditional brick and mortar therapy service. Those are great also. But if you want to get it a little bit cheaper to fit your budget, BetterHelp.com is the best spot for you. If you want to receive this 10% discount, go visit BetterHelp.com/TrevorTalks. Again, that's BetterHelp.com/TrevorTalks to receive 10% off of your first month. What the heck? This is amazing, and I'm excited to bring you this offer. If you're looking for convenient, flexible, and effective mental health support, be sure to check out BetterHelp.com, and don't forget BetterHelp.com/TrevorTalks for 10% off of your first month of therapy services. Please note that the information provided in this promotional segment is for educational and informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for professional medical or mental health advice. If you are in need of immediate help, please call 911 or seek support from a local mental health provider. BetterHelp.com/TrevorTalks. Let's get back to the show.
Isn't it kind of nuts how some people went through the panty, as I call it, and didn't really learn anything new? Like, it's ironic to me. Like, for me, when the pandemic started, I started a media agency and a podcast and just kind of full set into that.
Yeah.
I don't think you could, like, mentally or physically go through that pandemic, the 2 years being locked up or whatever it was, without finding something new about yourself. And even right. The mental health struggles that we went through, it made you stronger for sure. But yeah. I want to get into that artistic itch as well. So remind me if I forget, but let's go ahead to Mike's answer and then we'll pop in.
Dude, yeah, the pandemic, the panty, as you put it, is it was bad, man. Like, I don't think I struggled as much as most people did. So during that, I was very busy working. And then with Convictions in my music, we just used that time to write our record, and we shot our music videos, and we just did all of our planning during that period. So it was actually really cool. We shot a music video in like a downtown setting, and we were playing our drums and instruments in the middle of the street, and because nobody was outside, we took advantage of it.
Yeah.
That's smart. Dude, yeah, that was super gnarly for me because I had gone 2 years without performing, and my first show performing after 2 years of just sitting on the couch was in August Burns Red. So like 2 years of no playing, and then it was like, now you play your biggest shows in your life. Like it was very different and crazy, but really cool.
Dude, that's actually nuts. So you mentioned August Burns Red. Do you want to talk about how August Burns Red got you fired from
I don't regret nothing.
Who would? It's the ABR.
Yeah, for our listeners, if you have a dream, you got to protect it. And that's exactly what I did. I dropped everything in my life to get on the road and sing and do what I want to do. So,
and God honored it because now you have an even better job. And I mean, you had to learn all these songs within a day. Like,
give or take. Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, because it was a throwback tour at that point, right? It was
The Leveler
tour.
Yeah.
So crazy. Man, coming out of a pandemic with something like that is so nuts. But Jeremy, you mentioned something a little bit earlier with the artistic itch. I've used that word so much in the past month of my life with just things that are happening behind the scenes. I totally get it, but I didn't get it until this year. So can you explain that to the people that aren't in music or a quote-unquote artist, or maybe they want to be in that field and they're experiencing this and they don't know what it is or how to handle it? So what is it? How did you handle it? And how would you encourage others to do the same?
I don't even know if I know how to explain it really what it is. I mean, I just like when you, I feel like I've always been called to music. I've done music pretty much my whole life since I was like young. And like, that's always been kind of like, I feel like my calling or my voice, you know? And so I don't know how to really explain it other than just like, you have something that you are really passionate about and then all of a sudden you can't like exercise that, and then like what do you do like with all that energy, like with all that, you know? That's the only way I can explain it, is that it's like an itch. It itches, like you want to do it so bad but you can't, you know? Yeah. So, and it's like the only release is to be able to do it, to scratch that itch. So one thing I did do over the pandemic to kind of scratch that itch is I started doing painting. I like started doing traditional tattoo style painting, and like it's like, well, it's not music, but it's, you know, it's a different, it's like a pivot, you know? It's like, well, it's the same side of the brain, everything like that. As long as I'm creating, I guess I feel like I can, you know, scratch that itch, I guess.
Now, before the pandemic hit, had you ever done like an Instagram or TikTok cover of another song in your life?
No.
So nope. That's so that was kind of a new thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'd always wanted to do that. And I just didn't make any time for it because there was no time for it, because we were touring so much and I was so busy in the studio that there really wasn't any time, you know, to, you know, set aside for something like that. So that is something I guess I have, to compliment, or I don't know how to say it, but because of the pandemic, yeah, compliment the, you know, the panty was like, I had time to start doing some of this stuff. And, because of that, like now, like I've been like doing these covers and like, it's helped me become a better vocalist. It's helped me like learn, you know, new techniques and new cadences that I've never really messed with. So I think the best way to get better at a craft is to study how other people do it. People that are better than you, you can learn from them. And doing covers is a way to do that. Not to mention just like keeping the rust off, you know, it's like in between tours. 'Cause sometimes, you know, while the tour and they'll be home for 2 to 3 months, and like, I can only run through our set so many times by myself in my vocal booth before I'm like, okay, this is boring, you know? So yeah, just doing vocal covers is like kind of helped me keep like stay on my game and, you know, stay fresh.
Is that how you did the Deftones cover? Like, kind of accidentally finding a new skill when you were covering them? Because I know that Earthcrumbs did the cover.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say. I've always been able to kind of sing, but I've never really, like, had a lot of confidence in it. And I didn't know if that was, like, something that I really wanted to do with Earthcrumbs. But, I mean, Deftones being one of, like, my all-time, like, favorite bands and one of my biggest inspirations from all time was, like, I wanted to pay homage, you know, to a band that's inspired me over the years, you know? And, like, I feel like when it comes to doing covers, you can go two ways. You can go the one way where you're like, okay, I know that if I do this song, it's going to, like, generate a lot of talk or a lot of buzz. Or you could do, like, a cover because you want to do a cover, you know, like, and that's, like, what Deftones was. It just also worked out that, you know, Deftones is also a really big band that a lot of people love. So it's, it did really well for us. So thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thank you. And then, like, you know, the following EP, we did a Comeback Kid cover, and that one, like, it did okay, but it didn't nearly do as well as, like, Deftones, did. That one's still, like, sitting on some, like, metal playlist or metal covers playlist or something. So
that's one's doing better. So when you introduced the covers and they started taking off, did you see, like, a noticeable difference in, like, what you were doing in Earthcrumbs artistry-wise? You obviously were challenging yourself to learn more vocal techniques and such, but yeah. When you started seeing the response from people actually, like, listening to these covers and, I mean, hundreds of thousands of views on these things, has that translated into Earthcrumbs fans? Or, like, what is the overall benefit for you walking through this? Because you didn't ask to, like, go viral or anything. It's just kind of like,
no,
yeah, you were scratching the itch and it happened.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's like, it's been good in every avenue. Like, it's been good because, like, we've seen a lot more traction on our page and our, you know, a lot of people are being introduced to Earthcrumbs that never have heard of Earthcrumbs. You know, like, I think almost every night of this last tour, somebody came up to me and said, hey, I found out about your band because of your covers. Or I've been, like, following you since I, you know, found out about your covers. So there's definitely some good translation there. And then, yeah, it's helped me become, like, it's helped me think outside of the box and, like, kind of do things differently than I used to. Or maybe, like, it's helped me with, like, cadences, doing things differently because I'm learning from other vocalists, like, different cadences and styles and stuff. So it's cool.
Dude, that's so good. Now, from first glance, when I saw the Earthcrumbs music videos, I'm like, this dude looks angry. But now getting to talk to you, it's not at all that. You're just a genuinely nice, soft-spoken guy. And there's a lot of memes going around that show, like, metal vocalist on stage, and it shows, like, a bear, and then it says metal vocalist in the green room, and it shows Barney sitting there asleep. Like,
yeah,
that is a very true thing. Like, if you look at a lot of these metalcore vocalists, they're just big teddy bears. But dude, you're such a nice dude. I have to know, where did the aggressive worship music come into play for you? When did you know that you wanted to be a metalcore vocalist? When did it come into your life?
Man, a long time ago. I got into metal when I was, like, 12 or 13. And I'd played music since I was... I started piano. Well, my parents made me take piano when I was little. But I said, I want to be a drummer. And they're like, well, if you're going to be a drummer, you have to learn piano first. Because that's apparently how you're supposed to do it. I don't know. But I did, like, 3 years of piano. And then they let me buy my own drum set. And then... So I played drums in my first band, and I played drums for, like, 8 years. But halfway through that band, we were terrible. We played, like, Green Day covers and, like, Metallica and stuff like that. And halfway through that, we were like, hey, let's actually write originals and, you know, play our own songs and stuff. And we couldn't find a singer. And I'm like, well, I'll sing, you know. And I had started screaming along to, like, Zayo and Under Oath when I was younger, and probably, like, 13, 14. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to do the headset, this Britney Spears headset microphone thing, and I'm going to play drums at the same time. And it was cringy, so cringy. But that's where it started for me. And after doing vocals and drums for a couple of years, I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure I'm a better vocalist than I am a drummer. And so the next band after that, I was just the front man. And like a lot of people, you know, like commented that, yeah, you're a better vocalist than you are a drummer. So I don't know.
Isn't that wild, but too? Someone notable that wanted to be a drummer and his parents wouldn't let him drum either would be Brian Head Welch of Korn, who
oh, really?
Wanted a drum set, and his dad's like, no, here's a guitar. And even he says now, like, if my dad would have bought me a drum set, I would have got mad and quit, but instead I got a guitar, and now he's one of the biggest guitar players of our generation, especially in nu metal. So
right.
So
yeah.
Many people out there have these aspirations to be musicians and such, and I personally believe that we all have a certain piece of artistry in us. It's not always going to look the same. It's not always going to sound the same, but there's something implanted in us. Like, it's a calling, you know? And anybody can sing. Like, you just have to find your tone. And a lot of people think of, when you think of a frontman, you think of what you do. It's like the first thing in a person's mind is like, oh, I couldn't really get on stage and do that in front of all those people. Was that something that you ever encountered where you're like, man, throw it up behind the stage? I've done that because you're anxious, struggling with depression, with what people are thinking about you. Were those struggles that you had to go through on this journey?
Yeah. I mean, I've always welcomed the fear, I guess. That sounds really pretentious, sorry. I don't like how that sounded.
I welcome the fear.
Yeah, that sounded douchey. Can we scratch that? Let's take that off the record.
I love it.
I don't know. I've always, there is definitely a lot that goes in my mind. Like, I get nervous still, like, almost before every show, just because, I mean, I think it's because I'm a really big perfectionist and I want it to be perfect. And if I don't, if I can't perform perfectly, I like hate myself. I don't know. But I just want to give, like, you know, the fans, I guess, they're the best representation of myself and the band, you know. So, yeah, I still get really anxious and nervous before every show. I don't know. I've never really had a problem with, like, people, I guess, people's opinions and stuff, like, on the internet and stuff. But, yeah, it's really just, like, me just, like, dealing with, like, yeah, the nervousness of, like, performing perfectly and stuff. And, like, I still, like, yeah, like, if we get, like, a big tour offer or something that, like, I'm not super familiar with, even, like, that Christmas Burns Red, when we got there, that place is huge. I mean, I don't know if Mike agrees with this, but, like, for me, like, I've played in basements and garages and small, tiny venues, like, most of my career. So to, like, get there and, like, it be that big with that many people and, like, all of that just felt foreign. Like, the fact that there was, like, the gap between us and the crowd was, like, a good, like, 10 feet. And without my glasses, I can't make out anyone's faces. So it was just, like, everyone was just blurry. And I'm like, I have no idea if they're enjoying it. I have no idea. Like, it was just, like, it was hard for me to connect with people in the crowd because, like, I couldn't see them. I don't know. It was just different. It was just foreign for me. But maybe Mike should talk. I haven't heard from him in a while.
What about you, Mike? Have you ever experienced anything like that?
I can definitely relate to that. I think what you were mentioning a lot, Jeremy, is just kind of like the stakes being higher. Like,
yeah,
when you're playing club shows, basement shows, and then you get put on a stage in front of a few thousand, like, the stakes are much higher. Margins go way
up. Yeah, it's a better
things that could go wrong, or if you say something stupid or trip, whatever, there's a lot more that could go wrong. And I think Jeremy and I, we've toured a lot together. There's a pressure of being professional, whether it's in front of two people or 2,000 or whatever. You want to put on a good show and, you know, entertain and be true to what you set out to do. And I don't know. I get nervous, but it's a different kind of thing. Like, for me, it's I've always wanted to do it. And when I was a kid, I got bullied a lot and felt kind of like an outsider and stuff. And I was so hungry to prove myself to people that didn't even like me. So now I get to be in front of people that do like me, hopefully. And it's like, it's kind of like a celebration. It's a really cool thing. And it having sure. overcoming that, you know, in a positive way. And hopefully if I'm lucky, I can inspire someone else in a positive way. So it's mostly me just holding that pressure to myself. Like, you better deliver, buddy, you know, like,
yeah.
don't let them down.
If you've been listening to this podcast for more than one episode, then you know how much I advocate for therapy. I don't shut up about it. Heck, half of the episodes we're talking about therapy because mental health is just as important as your physical health. And we know that finding the right support for your mental health can be a challenge. And that's why I want to tell you about our brand new sponsor here at Trevor Talks, BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp.com offers a convenient and discreet way for people to receive mental health support from the comfort of their own home. With a wide range of therapists to choose from and the ability to communicate via text, phone, or video, BetterHelp.com makes it easy to find the right support for your needs. One of the main benefits of using BetterHelp.com is the flexibility that it provides. You can access therapy sessions from anywhere you have an internet connection and choose from a variety of communication methods, including text, phone, and video. Where else are you going to find this, guys? I don't know. BetterHelp.com also uses a wide range of therapists to choose from, with specialties in various areas such as anxiety, depression, relationships, and more. We have a special offer for you guys. BetterHelp.com is offering our listeners a 10% discount on their first month of therapy services. So if you've been thinking about getting into therapy and it's just been too expensive, BetterHelp.com is a lot cheaper than going to a traditional brick and mortar therapy service. Those are great also. But if you want to get it a little bit cheaper to fit your budget, BetterHelp.com is the best spot for you. If you want to receive this 10% discount, go visit BetterHelp.com/Trevor Talks. Again, that's BetterHelp.com/Trevor Talks to receive 10% off of your first month. What the heck? This is amazing, and I'm excited to bring you this offer. If you're looking for convenient, flexible, and effective mental health support, be sure to check out BetterHelp.com, and don't forget BetterHelp.com/Trevor Talks for 10% off of your first month of therapy services. Please note that the information provided in this promotional segment is for educational and informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for professional medical or mental health advice. If you are in need of immediate help, please call 911 or seek support from a local mental health provider. BetterHelp.com/Trevor Talks. Let's get back to the show.
Yeah, and one thing that was wild for me to hear is 2 weeks ago when Griner was on the show, he opened up about 20 years of struggling with performance anxiety and never found a way to address it until this 20-year anniversary tour. He goes, we're running before the shows, and it helps. It's like someone that has been doing this for 20 years, you would never expect to still be struggling with something like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot more common than we know, and it just hasn't been communicated. So when you hear artists that you relate with their music so much talk about things like that, it opens up a door of healing for other people to be able to walk through it as well. So all of this to wrap into this question, Jeremy, the question of the year, what inspired Tongue Tied and what can fans expect?
Sure. So I don't know if you're familiar where the term tongue tied actually comes from. It's a common expression, obviously, but there is a medical term for it also. It's like if you're born tongue-tied, it like that little skin that's underneath your tongue, it comes all the way up to the tip of your tongue, and it holds, like, it would not allow you to move your tongue freely or speak correctly if not, like, corrected. So yeah, it's a medical thing. But anyways, I was actually born tongue-tied. And they performed the procedure, like, right after I came out of the womb, and, like, had to take a scissors. It's really kind of barbaric, but they just take a scissors and they just start hacking away. Apparently, yeah, that's where I got my metal vocals from, I guess. But so I was born tongue-tied, and that term has kind of been, I guess, a common metaphor for me in my life. Growing up, being the black sheep in my family,
not only my family, but a lot of like my high school or a lot of my like years growing up. I grew up in the, like a small conservative farm community, and like, you know, there's just not people like me, I guess, around here. And so anyway, so it was really hard for me to like communicate and like relate. And I always felt, yeah, kind of like an outsider. And once I discovered music, that's kind of like, for me, is when I kind of like found my voice in a sense. So that's where the whole term, or the, you know, the inspiration behind the record comes from, Thumbtied.
Yeah, and in your music, there's a lot of faith-based undertones in it, and it's kind of a staple thing for you. When did your faith come into play, and when did you know you wanted to translate that and communicate it in your music?
That I feel like that was always kind of first. You know, it's like, if I'm going to do music, I'm going to do it for the glory of God. I want it to be worship. I want it to point people to God, even if people don't believe in God or have like the same kind of like faith or whatever. I still want people to listen to our music and walk away feeling inspired or some sense of hope, some way that they can also still relate to the music. So that's always been a large part of me, or a large part of music for me.
Well, it's inspiring, number one, but number two, this cover art is beautiful. What was the inspiration behind this, and is there a concept behind that?
I actually have nothing to do with that.
Praise God.
Yeah. My idea was totally different, and it was totally way brutal, and I pitched my idea to a guy named Jim Hughes, who I know that Convictions has worked with also.
Yeah.
But Jim Hughes, what's that?
I was just about to ask it. Was that Jim?
Yeah. So Jim's been working, doing our stuff for a while now. Fun fact, Jim and I go back a long time. Like, I met Jim when I was like early. He was in a crappy band. I was in a crappy band. We played crappy shows together. It was great. But now he kills it when it comes to art. But anyways, I pitched an idea to him, and he is like, how about, what if we did not do that and I do something cooler? I'm like, sick, go for it. Because I'm not an art, like, I don't do album art. I write music. So that's all him. But I think what is cool, and I don't know if he, like, if he meant to do this or not, but like, there is kind of like a heart shaped like hole in that wall, and it kind of looks like, you know, it'd be like a bleeding heart kind of thing, which I think is pretty cool for the topic of the album and like some of the struggles that are like, you know, that we go through on the record. And if you do read the lyrics, you'll find out there is a lot of like hurt in this record. You know, some of it just because of me growing up not feeling wanted or loved, or having a hard time communicating with other people. So,
yeah. And so many people struggle with that. It's a lot more common than, like I said earlier, people like to admit that they're struggling. But when you open up about these things, you start having conversations around it, then other people are able to become free from it. Which this is just inspiring for me to hear from you. So thank you for sharing it with us. Where can everybody find the music, more about Earth Groans and what you've got coming up?
Yeah, I mean, we're on all that, like all the different streaming sites, all the social medias. We have a website, earthgroansmusic.com. So you can go there and be directed from there. But Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, all that stuff, the new records on all those. You can find some music videos on YouTube and such like that. And then what was the other question? Sorry, I spaced off.
That was it.
Oh, okay. I was thinking
you're good.
Okay.
And Mr. Stigmata, Mike, you want to plug anything?
Yeah, go pick up Tongue Tied.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was good.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, we're going to have the links for everything Earthgrudge and Convictions in the description below. If you're listening to this and you need a little bit of extra support, I strongly encourage you to go check out our friends at Heart Support, which I am wearing the Heart Support Fest hat right now. So yeah. If you want one, go support them at heartsupportfest.com. Get your merch. It's all on sale right now, which is a crazy amazing thing. Go check that out. Go check out the links in the description. Know that you are loved, that we care for you, and there's always a reason to choose to live. We love you guys so much. This episode was brought to you by BetterHelp, Heart Support, and Life Audio, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Goodbye now.
Dedicating time each day to spend feeding our minds and our hearts the truth of God's Word is immensely helpful in our growth as followers of Christ. I'm John Stonge, and each day I host a show called Daily Devotions with Pastor John. On the show, I spend just a few minutes taking an applicational look at one or two verses of Scripture before coming to the Lord in prayer. If you'd like to make a habit of spending more time meditating on the truth of God's Word, you can listen to Daily Devotions with Pastor John at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.